Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Amazing Race Rewind podcast, the podcast where we rewind back in time to watch the earliest seasons of The Amazing Race for the first time. My name is Andrew.
And I'm Jill.
And we are here with Season 5, Episode 12, Finale Part 2, the conclusion of the Season 5 episodes, but not the conclusion of our Season 5 coverage because the deep dive is coming.
Yes. You know what I just realized a couple seconds ago? Five seasons in, and I've never missed my cue for And I'm Jill.
Well, I don't think it's a hard cue to miss, like, all due respect to you.
But because sometimes I'm still getting adjusted, you know, I was taking a drink of water, but never once have I missed And I'm Jill.
That's true, but I have flubbed the intro before.
But yours, you have a lot more weight to the intro.
It's also, pretty, it's kind of wordy.
When we bring guests on too, they're not ready for it, especially if it's one of our friends, and they'll kind of just start laughing.
It's laughing. It's a joke. Yeah, but this is my life. It's serious. This is our like life's work, our only creative outlet. Okay, so we reach finale part two, and you really realize that they literally just tacked two episodes together. Like, there's not a lot of continuity from one to the next.
Oh, and it's like, there's none.
Yeah, and it's like, I'm curious, do we know why? Maybe we've talked about this before, but we have, like, neurodegenerative diseases where we can't remember. Do we know why they do this for the finale?
Honestly, I think it's probably because, and I would say this happened this time as well, the first half usually ends up being a little boring, and they can kind of skip through it pretty quickly. Yeah, I don't know why, really. I think probably to make it more exciting, you know, it is nice to have to be fed the experience of watching two episodes back to back. It's a big deal. It's,
yeah.
It's, I think, more for, like, the theatrics of it would be my guess.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll see in the deep dive. I'll try and look that up if that's not something that I've looked up already.
But the thing is, it's a common TV convention, you know, like for your finales to be
2 hour,
like, especially if it's a contest. Yeah, like because you want to get it over with all in one. Like, I was a big So You Think You Can Dance kid growing up, and I feel like their finales were always really long.
I guess so. Yeah. That's just the conventional thing to do, perhaps. Nothing more. Okay, so hold on. This is the finale part two, and how do you think this stacked up to other finales we've seen?
Here's the thing. I feel like I'm a little biased because, spoiler alert, we're going to Canada. However, when you take that out of it, it actually wasn't great. Like, they utilized the fact that, you know, Calgary has had the Olympics. They really, I would say, underused Calgary and Canada and Alberta as a location. And then even when we got to the final destination in the States, it was pretty underwhelming.
Yeah, it wasn't an exciting race to the finish, per se, as much as the editors tried to manipulate the footage to make it look like it was, that we've seen before. But I think it could have been a lot worse, especially with the way that the airport thing panned out.
Yeah, I will say there were some nice moments of teams surpassing other teams and things looking like it was going to pan out one way when it didn't. But all of that was travel related. Nothing really was anything to do with the tasks.
Yeah, I still think the season two finale is the best. Noted, we are huge fans of that one.
Mile.
Season two is the best. Season one and three were pretty good. Like, I remember season one, the end with
we
the
gotta
whole...
jump the gate.
Yeah. Was that in the finale?
Yeah, because or
it was, I thought that was in China.
It was like part one of the finale, I think. Or it was because but the issue with season one, and we're not gonna rehash this, but obviously the issue was the Guidos were so far behind.
Yeah.
So it was like just one team versus another.
But with that being said, it did have a good race to the finish with
yes,
Frank and Margarita nearly missing that last train.
Yes, and we got that again in season two. We got a lovely race to the finish. Season three, God, I don't like. I remember who won now, only because we discussed it. But that I think was a pretty forgettable finale because I couldn't tell you one thing that happened.
Yeah, I don't. That's so true. I don't even know where the finale was. I think it was okay.
Yeah, it was fine. Last season's was good too because I liked that there were a lot of tasks in the final location, even though in the moment it was kind of like, oh my gosh, can we just get to the pit stop? But it actually added a good amount of tension.
So I would say this, like within the other finales we've seen, it's kind of somewhere in the middle. I don't think it was the worst, not the best. Somewhere in the middle. Okay, the first teams to depart. Brandon and Nicole at 3:16. They are told to make their way to Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And I'm saying, thank God it's not Alaska. Because we saw snow in the preview and we said, we better not be going to that state once again.
Yes, I'm happy we get to go to Canada. So they are instructed, and they're going to get a direct flight from Manila, which is lovely. Instructed to go to Calgary, Alberta, drive or get a taxi to take them to Lookout Mountain, which obviously Calgary is just on the edge of the Rockies. They have to snowshoe up this mountain. And okay, I was thinking about this throughout the episode. So I was born in Calgary. When was this being filmed?
So in the winter, obviously.
Winter of 2003? But December of 2003? January of 2003?
I don't know. Well, let me see.
Filming either dates. Either way, so... Because, like, either I was... Would I have been born? No, I wouldn't have been born. But either my mom was pregnant with me living here, and both of my parents were living here at this time, which is crazy to think about. Like, we've never been in a city for The Amazing Race at this point where, like, someone we knew was in that city at the time that this was being filmed.
Yeah, that's so true. So it finished February 27th. So it would have been late February.
Of 2003?
Of 2004, sorry.
Okay. Oh, so my mom was pregnant with me. So, yeah.
So there you go. You were there. So
my parents were somewhere in the city while they were filming.
You were there. You were just a little clump of cells in a uterus. So, yes. Chip and Kim are departing at 3:40 a.m. And they're talking about how they threw Colin and Christy in a tailspin by yielding them. And Colin and Christy have yet to recover. And they do not believe that Colin and Christy will recover from the yield tailspin scenario.
Bold words.
Yes. And Colin and Christy depart for 3:46 a.m. And they're saying that they do not want Chip and Kim to win.
No, sorry. Also, have to add, the teams get what, $630 to start this leg of the race?
Something egregious. Yeah, it was.
That's like probably some of the most we've ever heard them get at the start of a leg.
Yeah, well, probably because the taxi from Calgary, the
airport
to the mountain was 80 kilometers away. So that would have been a pretty hefty fare.
Yeah, no, that's true. I didn't really think about that.
Yeah, so. All teams are on the same charter flight because they have to take a charter flight to Manila, and then all teams are also on the same flight from Manila to Calgary. We see haunting music of all teams.
We see haunting music.
Haunting music is playing as we see all three teams sitting together waiting for this flight. And we arrive at Manila Airport. I said, here we go. Ooh, no, we're not going. Zero airport scenes in Manila. All we see is we're all on the same flight to Calgary, and that's it.
Yeah, a direct flight. So a lot of what I thought would be the drama is gone, which is nice to have a final leg that's not jam-packed with this. I'm gonna start adding my little sprinkles of notes here about the hats in this episode. Now, first off, is I noticed that I know we're gonna get to that in 1 second, Andrew, but Colin bought a New Zealand ball cap. Because I went, he's wearing this black ball cap, and I go, is that the, yeah, Colin's wearing a new, like, he obviously picked up a ball cap in the airport in New Zealand. But, oh, will this not be our last comment about hats?
No.
But we'll get to that in a minute.
And this might be the first time that they're doing an international travel on The Amazing Race where they don't show us the teams booking their flights or at the airport at all.
Yeah, it was a really, like, we see nothing of this. When I say we see nothing, I mean, they get to Calgary, and they're straight to the cabs, and they're off.
So, Colin and Christy get their taxi first, they're back in the lead, and they're going up the gondola. Cut to Chip and Kim talking about they are unprepared for winter. So, they, along with everybody else, is scrambling to get their snow gear on, which includes...
Well, okay, let me think. I'm trying to place this temporally. Okay. So Colin and Christy are quite far ahead. Colin's talking about they do a lot of like extreme sports. They love skiing, snowboarding, like he's used to this kind of mountain stuff. They obviously love it. Both Brandon and Nicole and Chip and Kim seem less prepared for it. And as you mentioned, Brandon and Nicole are changing in, they change in the gondola. So they're not too far behind Colin and Christy. They're changing in the gondola.
Yeah.
And then Chip and Kim are at the base of the hill. They're a little further behind the teams and they're starting to get dressed, the snow pants and everything. They're putting on layers and we see, oh goodness, we see the toques.
Chip and Kim are wearing a maple leaf shaped toque where it's kind of like the hamburger helper hand, except the, like on their head where it's like the points of the maple leaf is jutting out from their head. If that and paints a picture for you.
For any international listeners, toque is what we call, a beanie in Canada. Yeah, that's what
something
we call
something to keep
beanies.
Your head warm.
Yeah.
So that's cracking me up instantly, are these toques that they're going to wear for their time in Calgary.
Brandon wears one at one point, which is where I'm thinking, like, were they given these by production?
I didn't
like,
notice that.
Brandon, I think it's like when they get to the top of the mountain, he's wearing one. So I'm like, either they all picked them up somewhere or production had some warm clothes ready for them.
Yeah.
I
want one.
But these, yeah, they're quite comical. Like, I, it's hard to explain why they're so funny if you're not seeing it. But in these really intense moments where the teams are struggling physically, to just see them with this stupid maple leaf on their head is pretty funny.
It's hilarious. Okay, the altitude and steepness of the hill is getting to Christy and Nicole especially. And Brandon is going to motivate Nicole by saying, just picture Jesus is up there on the top of the hill. And he's saying it in a way that is so serious, but you can't help but laugh. Because
also because, well, no, the camera, the editors cut away to shots of the sky and the clouds. And Brandon's saying, you know, picture Jesus. He's standing there with his arms open. Like, you know, he's painting such a scene. And the editors are mocking him almost in a way.
Yes, they are. It's like subtle, yet extremely overt.
Also, cut to, you know, picture Jesus. He's up there. He's waiting for you. Cut to Colin and Christy. Think of the $1 million. Like Colin is just repeating that, like the monetary compensation of it all.
Yeah, yeah. Again, Brandon and Nicole, they are an interesting team from the way that they're presented to us. Okay, so yeah, Colin is getting frustrated with Christy that she is needing to take breaks. She's needing to catch her breath. And they're going to problem solve by Colin dragging Christy up this hill via ski pole.
You know what? You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. And it worked. It worked beautifully.
Yeah. They get to the top of the hill. Christy collapses. Not really. Actually, Nicole's more the one, I think, who collapses. But Christy's out of breath. Colin gets the clue, and it tells them to go back down the hill. And they have to go back into Calgary to the Canadian Olympic Park and find the Olympic cauldron.
Yeah, to get their next clue, which is a little bit asinine to, like, go all the way up, which they like to do in these early seasons quite a bit, is, like, oh, go to this place and then go out 80 kilometers away from it and then come back to it. Like, right, do one task and come back. Which I don't know if it, like, makes the most sense for them logistically, but that's how they were operating.
No, it was a little questionable. I made the point earlier of they didn't utilize Calgary and Alberta to its fullest. Why are we not doing tasks in Banff, Lake Louise? We have great potential to have a pit stop at one of these places.
Yeah.
On the flip side, if you want to keep them around Calgary, you know, why are we not doing something? I know it's winter, but something more stampede oriented. Why are we not doing something with the Calgary Tower? Calgary downtown is really great. The Bow River. There's a lot to do.
Well, they needed you on the production team.
They did. I was in Calgary. They could have consulted me.
They could have spiritually consulted you from the womb. Yeah, and like the fact that they only spent half a leg there, a little bit disappointing. But we will take what we can get with the Canada representation.
We should add, as Colin and Christy are going down this hill, are Chip and Kim, have they arrived yet? Or is it Brandon
they,
and Nicole?
Yeah, Chip and Kim are starting their way up.
And obviously going down a hill is so much easier. They're in snowshoes too. We should add they're in snowshoes with ski poles. And Colin decides to do some somersaults. He's happy. And Chip and Kim are a little peeved at him.
Yeah, because it felt as though he was mocking them. Because, I mean, I totally get that. Because you're going up and you're struggling and you're seeing somebody being like, woo, let me do somersault down the hill, roll, raffle.
Raffle? What is raffle?
R-O-F-L?
Oh. I thought you were doing like a R-A-U-F-F-L-E.
Oh, no. It's not something that you want to see when you are struggling physically and gasping for air.
Andrew, is raffle a word?
No, it's not a word. R-O-F-L, rolling on floor laughing. Okay, so we see Colin and Christy. They have taken an early lead in this finale. Kim is doing much better than Chip at this hiking task, and she's going to take the lead, and Chip is huffing and puffing behind her. So Colin and Christy arrive at the Olympic Cauldron, and they're told to, so they it is a detour, and it is to choose between two Olympic courses, slide or ride.
Yes, so slide is, they have to participate in two-man luge, which luge is when they're on the sled feet first. And they must go down the luge track in under 34 seconds, which is the minimum time or whatever that you need to, or the maximum, whatever. It's the time that you need to be able to beat to be like an amateur competitor. And then ride is you get mountain bikes and you have to go down the Olympic slalom, the ski slalom course in, what is it, under 3 minutes?
Yes.
Yes. Colin and Christy instantly, Colin's like, Christy wants to bike, Colin wants to luge, and Colin goes, no. He's like, it'll be mountain bikes with spikes, that's much more difficult. He's like, we're going to luge, which I didn't realize, because I would have said, yeah, biking sounds easier.
I would have said biking sounds easier because I am thinking luge is extremely dangerous. Somebody literally died doing this in the Vancouver Olympics.
I know.
I was incredulous.
They're not going up to those speeds at all. But, I mean, you're on the sled with incredibly sharp blades.
But still, yeah, and your head is so close to the ice. And if you've never done this before, you have no control. So you could just go flying down this course and things could become catastrophic real quick. So I was really shocked to see this as an option.
Yeah, I think also, and I don't know, maybe this is me being an ignorant Canadian, but I feel like growing up in Canada, luge is a sport that's talked about a lot more. We're a lot more aware of it. And so I think for you and I to read the clue and see luge, like you said, the first thing that comes to our mind is the danger of it and be like, yeah, no, maybe not. But it ends up looking significantly easier than the biking.
But I would have chosen the biking 100%.
I don't know. I think I'm 50-50. I'm actually quite impartial.
Okay. Well, from the clue, I would have said bikes 100%. Because also, I don't know how easy it is to do this luge course in under 34 seconds. But
Colin and Christy get there. Brandon and Nicole aren't far behind them. Colin and Christy gear up. They're getting ready to luge. And Brandon and Nicole have a little bit of a spat here. Which ultimately ends up with them deciding to go and bike.
Yeah. And the other thing with why I would say bike over luge is that biking is something that I know how to do. I've never luged before, and I don't know if I'm going to be good at it or if it's hard. So I can see why Brandon and Nicole chose the bikes, even though it does prove to be much more difficult. And at this point, we're seeing Kim and Chip have completed the snowshoeing task. And Kim has a quote saying, that was too rough for some 40 and over people to do.
The altitude would get to you.
Yes.
I don't know why I said altitude. My goodness.
So Colin and Christy, they get a first try on the luge. It seems like there's zero skill involved and that they just kind of slide around the course and they're good to go.
Yeah,
with 4 seconds to spare.
You do have to stay on a certain kind of track to get better speed. Obviously, like, you don't be hitting the sides, but they manage that with ease, it looks like. And they're good to move on. And they're happy to see that the next clue has taken them to Dallas, Texas. And I guess they're from, I think, like, Austin or something. I don't know where they're from. They're not from Dallas, but they're from Texas.
They're Texan.
However, Brandon and Nicole are not gonna... I would say that Nicole has a well-deserved, and I mean that in a genuine way, like a well-deserved flow moment where the exhaustion, the sleep deprivation, the stress, and just the overall like intensity of the race kind of catches up to her.
So they do their first run on the bikes and 4.5 minutes. They needed to get it done in 3.
Also, she's complaining that the bike she has is too tall because she can't really put her feet down. Like, she can't drag her feet properly. If she's sitting on the seat of this bike, she can kind of only get her toe down. And she's pointing this out as a problem. And they're all saying, no, it's like the instructors and Brandon. They're like, no, you're fine. And that's her first red flag. No.
Yeah.
They reach their 4.5 mark. Okay, not good. They go back up. And she does get a new bike. But
that's not going to help. So no. They go all the way down and they have to go all the way back up, which I would imagine would be kind of a pain and take a lot of time. But they're going back down and instantly Nicole is struggling and she's cracking.
It starts off with her kind of yelling, Brandon, I can't do this. Brandon, I can't. And I think it's one of those things where once you've kind of tipped yourself over the edge, like once you start crying or you start getting upset, you just can't stop yourself.
Spirals.
Because it gets to the point where like she is off the bike, throws the bike to the side, and she's like sitting down, hyperventilating, crying. And she's like, I can't do this. I can't. Like, it's everything is catching up to her.
Yeah, she's sobbing down the slope. She's inconsolable. She plops herself down on the hill and Brandon is just like, I literally don't know what to do. So the only thing he can do is, I'll give you a piggyback ride.
And she accepts it. And she's annoyed with him because she had said they should do luge first. And he had said no. And that's what they go and do. They go into luge and they also get it first try. And so she's peeved at him that... And it's a scene in the car after where she's peeved at him.
Yeah. Which is unfair to him.
A little bit.
So that happens. I thought it was a little bit ridiculous, the whole meltdown. I thought it was a little bit much. But it is one of those moments, again, like Flo, where you really see somebody at their breaking point. It's very raw. And it's almost uncomfortable in the sense that I feel as though I shouldn't be seeing this.
No, like this is someone who's just exhausted. They're stressed. They're so sleep deprived. They're so, like, they probably just want to go home at this point. And you just one little thing that it's not even about the biking at this point. It's not about the task. It's just you get set off and then you can't stop yourself.
Yeah. And she cannot stop herself there. Colin and Christy arrive at the Calgary International Airport to a graveyard. There's nobody there. They note that it is very foggy. And they are going to book a flight on an American Airlines flight for the next day.
Direct to Dallas-Fort Worth. So they think that all is good. They're settled. They're feeling happy with where they're at. And they go across to the airport hotel.
The Delta.
Yeah, the Delta. And they decide to, like, what are they doing? Like, they're taking these boxes and they're going to check some of their bags as a box and have it sent to Dallas.
Yeah, this seems like this is what all the teams are doing. Because so they can have light, they don't have to carry all the things in their bags, so they're just gonna pack all their clothes into a box and ship it off.
Yeah, so they do that. Brandon and Nicole get to the airport, they're on the same flight, they're doing that, and now we see Chip and Kim also going for the luge.
They are gonna try their hand at this luge. They get the classic inspirational Amazing Race music as they're sliding down until they flip on their side and the music cuts.
So they're finally showing us how luge might actually be a little bit difficult.
And Chip says, Houston, we have a problem. Chip and Kim, they go down the hill again, or the course, and fall over once more, this time at a much faster speed. This time when they fell, it was scary.
Little bit. I'm always just concerned about the blades on that sled.
The blades and the fact that their heads are so, I mean, they're wearing helmets, of course.
They're wearing helmets.
But still, that their heads are so close to the ice and the ground and that they could just like, I don't know. It does not seem safe to me at all.
Yeah.
Here I come. Safety police. Workplace health and safety.
You're never the safety, but this is so weird being on the other side of it, because I'm much more relaxed about this and you're like, I don't know, and I'm actually like, okay, this isn't the worst thing.
I don't know. I don't think that this should have happened, but it was fine. You're fine and everybody with
skydiving and jumping off of cliffs and anything else.
Yeah, I think that's more regulated than this.
We're not having this discussion
because
now.
If it would be different if like somebody else was with them on the luge, but they're completely to their own devices.
They are going relatively slow, though. I will add, like, if you watch, like, if you compare their side, if you were to side by side the clips of them going down this course with an Olympian, they are going at a snail's pace.
Well, yes, but Phil did say it was 40 miles per hour, which
60 kilometers, 65.
Yeah, and that's pretty quick. If
that
it's
is,
just your body and yeah. Okay, regardless, I find this to be unsafe.
Okay.
So
they do get it
the on their third try, just in the nick of time.
They are like 1.1 second away from failing, basically.
Yeah.
And they will go to the airport, and this is where I would say honestly one of the plays of the race is made. And it's almost entirely luck-based, but it was
I was going to say, I don't know if it's a play, considering that they just completely lucked into this. But, okay, so we see Chip and Kim. They are going to book the American Air... Or Kim is calling about the American Airlines flight that everybody else had booked. Who, mind you, everybody else is at the Delta Hotel as they are speaking.
So, they're happy campers. They're smiling in the Delta Hotel lounge. They're laughing. They think that they're set to go.
Seriously. And the person on the other end of the phone lets Kim know that the American Airlines flight is delayed 3 hours.
So the fog, the aforementioned fog, means that the plane that was supposed to come into Calgary to take them out of Calgary to Dallas the next day hadn't come in. It was going to come in that morning, like it had been delayed, so it's now coming in the morning, and therefore this American Airlines flight that Colin and Christy and Brandon Nicole think they're sitting pretty on is actually going to putting them behind by 3 hours.
Yeah. So they, Chip and Kim, book a different flight from the American Airlines that is delayed. That would get them in 2 hours before everybody else. And
with a stopover in Denver.
Yeah. Are very pleased with themselves about this.
And they go to the hotel. They're doing the same bag thing, right? That like or the box thing.
They're packing all their stuff in the boxes. We're seeing.
But they're not saying anything to Colin and Christy.
Well,
and,
why would they?
And to Brendan. Yeah. And I think, is it Colin who says something about like, who would have thought, like, you know, it comes down to all of us on the same flight. And Chip's just a laughing.
He is a laughing. Colin is talking about getting a taxi. He's calling to get a taxi that will pick them up when they arrive at the... They're not going to Houston.
Fort Worth, Dallas.
When they arrive in Dallas, and he says, like, I want somebody who knows the place, who's going to be fast and knowledgeable. And
this is a smart move, because it actually does... To an extent, it really does help him.
If they had all arrived at the same time to Dallas, this would have been
a game changer.
The game changer. But Chip and Kim, we're going to, I don't know, 4:30 a.m. and reminiscent of Charlotte and Myrna sneaking off while everybody else is sleeping, Chip and Kim are leaving the hotel to go get their tickets for their earlier flight. And Chip says, I'm licking chops and praising God.
So they are quite chuffed with themselves. And Colin and Christy and Brandon and Nicole wake up and they go and they see that you know, Chip and Kim are gone. They go into the terminal, and oh my god, they're scrambling.
Delayed! So, Nicole and Brandon, they're looking over at Chip and Kim, who are at the United desk, and they're noting this, and they're thinking curious. And they learn that the flight is delayed, so they go over to United flight, which is full. Instant depression for them. Colin and Christy arrive. They're kind of like sniffling around, seeing why everybody else isn't at American Airlines. Same thing. Full. So this is where I was thinking, this is a really not how this race should be going, where the people who arrived at the airport in last are being rewarded for being in last and are now ahead of everybody else because of it.
Like, here's the thing. Should the other teams have been checking on the status of their flight, especially if you're in the airport or in the hotel adjacent to the airport? Yes, 100%. Make sure things are going to happen. Uh-huh. Like, until the airport is closed at, like, midnight, make sure your plane is there to leave the next day. But also, yeah, that is kind of my one qualm with how the rest of this race plays out, is the team who ultimately was at, you know, at a greatest of disadvantage and was behind by what seems like a decent amount of time is rewarded for the fact that they were behind.
Yeah, which is, I guess that's just the luck factor of The Amazing Race. We yes. see it play out like this all the time where people get screwed over, people luck into first place. That's just the way it goes. So, and Chip does note, he's saying that Colin on his game would have flights booked and like with several other backup flights as well. On four different airlines, but he didn't do that this time.
Yeah. So now we've got Colin and Christy and Brandon and Nicole. Because remember, too, the route that Chip and Kim have booked, it is the optimal route now as an option. But it's got a stopover in Denver. So the other two teams get standby tickets for the Denver flight, for the flight from Calgary to Denver. But then they have a whole other flight to worry about after that.
Yeah. So they say that the flight was overbooked to Denver and that there's no way that Brandon and Nicole and Colin and Chris are going to get on. They're like, oh, we just lost $1 million. We're never getting on. Cut to somehow they've moved people off of that flight and are able to get Brandon and Nicole and Colin and Christy in. I don't know, like inexplicably and miraculously, maybe in the deep dive, we'll learn about that because that seemed a little bit bizarre. That they were able to get in like that.
Yeah. So at this point, I'm thinking, oh, maybe it won't be such a big deal. Maybe it's going to be fine. Because all the teams get to Denver. And like I said, Colin and Christy, Brandon and Nicole haven't confirmed their seats on the connector from Denver to Dallas-Fort Worth. They go running over to the United desk, which is where Chip and Kim have confirmed seats on. And they're going to try and get these seats. And it looks like there are seats, but the FAA comes in and stops them here.
So I love this scene. So in Denver, Colin, he like says to Christy, let me talk, while approaching the desk. And he says, hi, how you doing, Wendy? reading the name tag. And Wendy is just not having it. She tells him flatly, we're oversold. And everybody is groveling at Wendy's knees to get on the flight. And the issue is that their bags are checked on an American Airlines flight, and it is an FAA rule that they're not allowed to get on a different airline, regardless
They must travel with their bags.
Yeah, but they're saying, we don't care, we'll leave our bags, we'll like throw it all away, we don't care, but they're saying, nope, FAA, we have no choice.
So both Brandon, Nicole, Colin, and Christy try and fight this a little bit, but the flight attendants are, they're like, yeah, or the desk attendants, they're saying, no, like, the rules are rules, you can't change it. So this means that Chip and Kim are on the United flight, and Colin and Christy, Brandon, Nicole do have a connector booked through American Airlines.
As a backup.
As a backup, but this flight, what is it, it gets in about 18 minutes later?
Yeah.
So it's not a lot of time, but it's not the flight they want to be on. Yeah.
So, yeah, they give up and they're running through the airport. Brandon and Nicole are still battling, but then they do eventually give up. And we see footage of them sprinting through the airport, getting on the tram. And this was footage of me coming back from Christmas break through sprinting through the airport to no avail.
To no avail.
Except they were successful, unlike I was.
Yes, so they get on their flight, and all three teams end up in Dallas. And we should add that the task is they need to go to the Fort Worth Stockyards, which is where the final, I guess, final task will be.
Yes.
And Collins call ahead for the taxi, even though Chip and Kim are ahead by nature of their flight. Collins' taxi call is a good one.
So hold on a minute. I just want to say that when they're showing teams on the flight in the air, they show a short video, like a 2-second clip of what appears to be an animated video of a plane in the air. Like or just like a computer generated video of an airplane in the air. And I'm wondering, have they used this before and I haven't realized?
I didn't even catch it. So I didn't even see it.
Well, no, because I had to go back and I rewatched it a couple of times to make sure. I was like, no, that's definitely not real. But they just put it in there for 2 seconds. Yeah.
You gotta fill space.
We see Chip and Kim, yes, they're touching down in Dallas shortly after Christy, Colin, Brandon, and Nicole are arriving. Christy trips at the airport, and a lot of people, very dramatically, and a lot of people have reactions that we just hear like, oh, no, no, while she's doing this. And Colin is holding his McDonald's, because they got McDonald's in Calgary, it seemed, and they brought it on the plane, and he still has his quarter pounder with a large Coke. There's a good moment where Brandon and Nicole, when they arrive, they ask their taxi driver, they say, how fast do you drive? He says, slow.
And so they're really building up the fact that Colin called and asked for the fastest driver this taxi cab company could give him. Colin and Christy are very happy with their taxi driver. He's willing to break the rules. He knows all the detours. He's willing to go over the speed limit. And they are very pleased.
Yeah, they're clapping like seals about that. Brandon and Nicole's taxi driver, meanwhile, is saying, this is not a racetrack. This is a highway. So I love, one of my favorite things in The Amazing Race is when locals shut down teams.
Locals like when just they're don't just care.
Completely, yeah, just like, I don't care. I find it very amusing. And I think it's humiliating for the teams.
It is. And it's great entertainment.
It is. Okay. So Chip and Kim arrive at this maze. Where was this location?
The Fort Worth Stockyards. So yes. It's like, it's a maze built of stock partitions, like a big, kind of what you would herd cattle through and stuff, or partition cattle off with. And this task is, it's not confusing. It's just there's a couple layers to it.
It's just a little bit nonsensical.
Yeah.
It's like, I thought we were going somewhere where it was you're going to have to put multiple components together, but there's going to be a puzzle or some sort of mental component, but there wasn't. So they have pictures of each of the final three teams, large on a wall, and they have to grab a key under their picture and search the maze to unlock a box, which will give them a picture of the Olympic cauldron in Calgary for whatever reason. It's they just decided to add this in at the last minute, and they just got an intern to scramble, and it's like, what picture can we use? The Olympic cauldrin. Okay. This doesn't make any sense.
No, there's no relevance.
They just put it, so they have to get this picture of the Olympic cauldron back on the wall near their picture, put that on the wall, and then search for box number 2 to unlock the box that gives their clue.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest. I was kind of bored by the task.
It didn't.
Chip and Kim arrive first. They do it. Colin and Christy get there. Brandon and Nicole get there. Chip and Kim have left. And I'm at this point, I'm saying, okay, yeah, we still have to hit that Dallas traffic, but why? I think we could have done something better for a task.
It could have been, it definitely had potential. They could have done more with it. They could have made it
Because I love a maze. You know I love a maze.
Yeah, it could have been go in the maze and find different pictures that refer to different locations throughout the race, and then assign it to the chronological order or something. I don't know. But that's not what they did here. and it was a little bit boring. However, Chip and Kim have good quotes here saying, "We're like a rat. Are we stupider than a rat?"
Lovely.
Mm-hmm. And they complete this task, receiving their clue. It's not close. Like, by the time that they're pulling out of the stockyard, Colin and Christy are pulling in, and Chip and Kim are headed to the final pit stop, which is in Trammell Park.
Yeah.
Something like that. And when Chip and Kim are in the maze, we see clips of them, like, struggling, interspersed with Colin and Christy in the taxi, as well as Brandon and Nicole. It's, like, in, like, very short clips. And the way that it's edited is smart, because the short clips make it seem like it's a lot more urgent than it is.
I would agree. Like, it's well edited, and they're trying to build what tension they can. Ultimately, to no avail. Like you said, it is pretty obvious, kind of, at this point.
Yeah. And probably one of the most shocking parts about this was that Colin and Christy are walking through the maze. Why aren't they running? Like, I don't know, was the ground freshly mopped? No running allowed? Slippery surface?
I think they probably know. You probably just kind of know.
I don't think, but if you think you know, but it's $1 million on the line, and there's, like, I don't know, 10 minutes between you and the team in front of you, you gotta run.
Also, to me, it looked like the maze, like, there weren't any long corridors really to run down. Like, it was a lot of, like, kind of, you take two paces, you make a sharp right, you take two paces. Like,
yeah.
There wasn't a lot of space where you could kind of sprint.
Not sprint, but you can like, kind of hop around and, like, pivot, and I don't know what I'm trying to say. But
we'll see how you do after racing around the world for 3 weeks, Andrew, okay?
Well, if it's the final leg, I'm going to be moving through this a lot faster than they were. I was shocked.
I'll hold you to that. I'll hold you to that.
Yes. Okay. Nicole and Brandon are also starting the maze. We see Colin and Christy complete the maze, and they get into the taxi, and they're telling their taxi driver, Colin says, "If you got to drive on the shoulders, do whatever you got to do, baby." And this taxi driver is loving his life. His name is Earl.
Earl is a champion.
He pulls into the shoulder on the highway, and he's honking at everybody.
Yeah, and at this point, it's, again, the editor's trying to build that, like, oh, are Colin and Christy going to catch, you know, are they going to catch Chip and Kim? They've got such a good taxi driver. Who's it going to be? Who's it going to be? And then we see the spread. We see Phil on the big mat, all the teams forming their little, whatever you call that, their walkway up to the final pit stop, and we see the hill. Who's it going to be?
Yeah, and, like, even the shots of them in the car, like, Chip and Kim and Colin and Christy, like, neither of the teams are, like, leaned forward or super intense into it. And this is what I was saying before, how it is quite a relaxed finale.
Yeah.
But we see Chip and Kim pull up and chills. I can't help it. It's a physiological... it just does something to me. It speaks to something within about my soul.
That first place team stepping up onto the mat, and Phil starts his, what is it, 5 continents or 6 continents?
Well, before that, this is one of my favorite parts, was when Chip exits the taxi, he says to the taxi driver, "Thank you, you made me a millionaire." Chills, 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 chills. I love that. That was, like, such a wholesome quote.
It was lovely.
It was really good. So, yes, everybody is cheering. Phil is in his leather jacket saying his 6 continents.
Yeah, 6 continents is crazy, by the way. We had made that comment earlier of, I think they went to every continent except Antarctica.
Yeah. Phil says, 6 continents, 11 countries, 72,000 miles. Chip and Kim, you are the official winners of the Amazing Race. Winning.
Chip and Kim obviously are very happy.
Yeah. They have won $1 million courtesy of American Airlines website, AA.com, that they can enjoy after the race.
This is going to be your next t-shirt.
Yes. So they are, Chip and Kim are weeping at the mat. And these are the most likable winners that we've had.
I agree. 100%.
This is the first team who's won the race who I was actively rooting for.
They're such good-hearted people. They are kind. They are earnest. They are warm. And although, like we said, they were last kind of going into the flight situation, and realistically from that angle, is it nice that they won? I don't know. Personality-wise, human being, soul-wise, what a great win.
What a great win. And I'm sure the American populace was cheering about this.
Yes.
And Colin and Christy pull up. They are team number two. And Phil proclaims them as one of the most competitive teams on The Amazing Race. Right then and there.
And this will not be the last we see of them.
No, because famously they come back on Amazing Race season 31. And they take this very well. Because I think, like, their character, the way that they were edited on the show, would make them seem like they would be very upset about this. But they're very gracious. Yeah. Colin is saying that Chip and Kim deserved it. They give them their flowers. Glad they're happy that they won. And slow-mo shot of Colin grinning.
Oh, the redemption that is to come for him.
And finally, we see Brandon is going to piggyback Nicole, is going to carry Nicole on his back in a piggybacking fashion as they arrive in third place.
I've never seen someone give so much attention and detail to the verb of piggybacking.
Because do you piggyback somebody else? Or as the person
you piggyback on, so like,
yeah. So
you piggyback on
Nicole someone. Was piggybacking on him. Anyway, they're blessed, is what they say.
Yeah. All of these teams are, take it graciously, they're happy. It's nice also when we can get the all three of the teams onto the mat. I hate it when there's like one, the third team is just too far out that they don't make it to the mat. So this was nice.
Yeah, it is nice. We didn't have a Team Guido / David and Jeff moment here where everybody is able to reunite as one at the end of this race. So I wanted to ask, at the beginning of the season, when I had supposedly spoiled it, did you think that Chip and Kim were going to win? Or were you thinking Colin and Christy? No.
Here's the thing, is I knew it wasn't Colin and Christy because you made a point of like, oh no, like you were very like kind of like, not performative with it, but you kind of, you like when we would talk about them, you were like, oh, but I've seen ahead, so I know who wins. And then the other fact of the matter was you had mentioned that they come back and I didn't know who would win, but I knew it wasn't Colin and Christy because I'm like, they wouldn't come back if they had won.
Right.
Because typically you're all-stars. You're not going to bring back someone who's already won the million to win the million again. So that was the big clue in for me.
True.
And then, like I said, when I wasn't too sure who was going to win, but then when it kind of got down to the final four, I had a pretty good idea. And then when I clicked on, this episode's title is You Just Made Me a Millionaire. And I hadn't even started the episode, and I was like, okay, Chip and Kim win, because no other team would say a line like that.
Yeah, I also did think that. But yeah, not the last we'll see of Colin and Christy, so tune in, I don't know, 15 years down the line once we get to season 31, and we talk about their redemption arc, which is quite dramatic.
We might even get into it in the deep dive and just spoil their
season. Well, might as well. Yeah.
But yeah, so Chip and Kim are the winners. And I'm looking forward to this deep dive. I think it'll be good. From what I've seen, there's a good amount of information out there readily available. It seems like Colin and Christy have done a lot of podcasts. I found quite a few podcasts with them, like more recent podcasts. So, yeah, like we said last week, if you have any information that you think we should review for the deep dive, please send it to us, amazingracerewind@gmail.com or over Instagram at amazingracerewind. And, yeah, do you have anything else to add?
I would like to add that seeing Marshall and Lance at the finish line really just made me think that, like, wow, this is such a ripoff of Kevin and Drew. Like, I can see exactly what the casting team was trying to do with that, and I don't think it worked. But with all due respect to Marshall and Lance, no shade to them, I'm just saying, seeing them, their appearance is, like, very similar to that of Kevin and Drew. Because I think...
Yeah, no, they always try to have that team.
They do, and I was thinking that because they've had it almost every season since. Well, who would season two be? Because season three would be Ken and Gerard.
Yeah, kind of I don't role. Know if they're... Season two didn't really have one, I guess, but they that is a trope they go for.
Yeah. Well, maybe because did season two have? Oh no.
Is this how we want to be ending the finale episode?
Oops. This is actually irrelevant. We're not doing this.
Yeah. We will get into this in the deep dive. We've said our piece. Send us information. Congrats to Chip and Kim 20 years ago. And yeah, we'll see you next week for the deep dive. Or maybe might need an extra week to do all the research, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
See you when we see you.
See you then. Goodbye.
Bye.